concluding remarks just to sum up this wonderful celebration today. And the main word I want to talk about is generosity, the generosity of God. Do you know that? I don't know if you've been in a situation where you've given something and no one said thanks. We used to always get chased in the family. You know, have you done your thank you letters? I haven't done my thank you letters. Better write my thank you letters. And it's the fact that I had to be reminded, showing that it just wasn't a natural habit. But how much of our lives do we have a natural overflow of thanksgiving? I think that I certainly have so much to learn in that department. Jesus healed 10 lepers, and only one came back and said, thank you. And that was the non-religious one. That's what Jesus said. It was the non-religious one that came back and said, thank you. And even as people who perhaps have come to church for many, many years, have we remembered to say thank you? What is the energy that powers you every day? You could have the phrase of what gets you out of bed in the morning? What's the first thought that comes into your mind when your eyes open? I'd like to suggest that one of the most important things is to just say thank you. To thank you that we're breathing. Thank you that we can put our feet on the floor. Thank you that there's crunchy nut cornflakes in the cupboard. Thank you that there's people that are prepared to help us through the day. Of course, we could get out the other side of bed and have a completely different day of not saying thank you to God, not saying thank you for our health, not saying thank you for the food in the cupboard, and not saying thank you for all the many acts of kindness that are happening throughout the day. Do you know that God is always at work in our lives, whether we see it or not? Do you know that he's always at work? And the scriptures say that God is very near us, is that in God we live and move and have our being. He's always looking for us, whether we're looking for him or not. You know, look at the beautiful weather we've had in this last week. Did we stop and say thank you? A friend of mine was approached by a non-religious person and said, I've just seen this awesome sunset, and I don't know who to thank, so I just phoned you. You know? You're the closest person I could think to thank. I've just seen this amazing sunset. That you know, God could have done it in such a boring way. The sun could have just gone down and like switching off a light, but no, it's very gradual, it's very beautiful. And no matter how many times you see it, there's a sense of awe and a sense of something bigger than us is happening. We want to say thank you. I went to the Grand Canyon, and the very first thing that happened was my knees buckled, and I was just so in awe. And then I realized, wait a minute, shouldn't be worshiping the Grand Canyon. It's not good. There's a God who made it. But it was just, I had this reaction because it was so beautiful. And have you ever held a newborn baby? Have you ever seen a wedding service? And you're just thinking that there is someone who is above and beyond us that has made these beautiful things, the flowers in the garden. Do you know what it says in the Bible, that although God gave us everything, we neither worshipped him nor gave thanks? In the Bible it says that one of the biggest offenses to God is not saying thank you. It's the very beginning of a separation from God. Rather than saying thank you for what he's given us, we believe it's ours to keep and it's ours to use however we want. God gives us a family, and instead of honoring that family as a gift, we treat it as if it's our property. God gives us possessions, and instead of saying thank you, we treat it as if it's ours, selfishly. And God says that that is at the very heart of that selfishness, which is sin. It's right at the center of what's gone wrong with the world. But God, in his great love, said, I want to help you. I don't want to see you destroy yourselves. If you carry on with this ungrateful, selfish way of living, you will only destroy yourselves. And I want to give you life to the full. And I send my son, Jesus, to die on the cross, because the way that you have been destroying life and destroying your own life and not saying thank you and living as if God doesn't exist, that is a big problem that needs to be paid for. The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin, the consequences of sin, cuts us off from life to the full. It cuts us off from life with God. It cuts us off. It's death. It's like a death. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is his Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. His only Son, the only perfect sacrifice, the only sinless person, the only person that didn't do a single selfish act in his whole life. Everything he did was love, considering others before himself. And even though he lived that perfect life, he did one final act of love. He gave himself for me and for you on the cross. That whoever believes on him will not perish, will not be cut off from God forever, but will be reconciled to God and will not have death, but have life to the full. And this is for everyone. It's for everyone. It's for everyone. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone. That includes you. David said in his testimony, I didn't really know what a Christian was. And I thought, I'm going to explain that. A Christian is someone who knows that they need God's forgiveness every day. A Christian is someone who knows that they cannot live a good life without God's help. A Christian is someone who knows that they've had to turn away from selfishness and turn back to God. The Bible calls that repentance. A Christian is someone who trusts in what God has done in sending his Son, trusts in his death, trusts in his resurrection. And all who turn to him in humility, a sense of sorrow for not saying thank you, for living life our own way, and for asking for his forgiveness and asking him to come in to our lives, he will come in. Sometimes it happens instantly that we realize that God has answered that prayer. Sometimes it happens gradually, like with David. It happened over probably a year or so. But as soon as you say that, God has answered the prayer and he comes in. He comes in today. And there are people here today that want to take that step. And I want to give you the opportunity to take that step. Do not worry about the small beginnings. A little prayer, a little whisper, and God will come in. Jesus said that faith is like a mustard seed, a tiny little seed. You can hardly see it, and it grows into a large plant. The Archbishop of Canterbury has been in the news a lot this week because he's organizing this global celebration of Pentecost Sunday, which is today. And he said he went back to his student room, and one of his friends explained what I've just explained to you now. And he just said, "Lord Jesus Christ, I believe in you. Come into my life today." And that was the beginning of the adventure. Because there is a, what gets you out of bed in the morning? What is the force that's driving your life? When you pray and ask God to forgive you, when you pray and you ask God to come into your life, His power is with you every day. His presence is with you every day. He helps you to live that beautiful life. But you have to ask. Ask and you will receive. Ask and you will receive. Shall we ask? Let us pray. If you'd like to pray this prayer, just in the silence of your own heart, to pray this after me. Sorry, thank you, please, is the structure. Sorry, thank you, please. God, I want to say that I'm sorry. You've given me so much. And I don't even say thank you very often. And today I want to recognize that you are the creator and you are the giver of all the good things in my life. And I want to turn away from all the bad things, all the things that I know to be wrong. I'm sorry, and I turn away. Thank you for sending your Son to die for me. I believe in Jesus, my Savior. I receive your forgiveness. I ask you to come into my life today and make me a new person and help me to live a life of love and of gratitude all the days of my life. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have prayed that sincerely, God has heard your prayer, He has come into your life, and He now wants to help you to walk in His ways. Be good to tell someone, tell myself, tell someone else that you know here, so that we can help you on the journey. We just love to be able to do that. And if you are here this morning and you are a follower of Jesus, just to take away that challenge of living with the power of God's generosity in your life. He gave everything for you. How will you not give everything back to Him in return? We were bought at a price, the price of His precious Son on the cross. Therefore, we want to offer our lives in service to God. May the baptism of our three friends this morning inspire us as Christians to give our all to God and to not hold back, and His grace will lead us on. Shall we sing our last hymn together?